The scientific news today deserves its own moment because it comes at two very different scales, one looking back 12.5 billion years and one measuring the planet's temperature right now. Let's start with the galaxy discovery because it's remarkable. A galaxy called Andromeda XXS6, estimated to be 12.5 billion years old, has been discovered as a satellite of the Andromeda Galaxy, and an amateur astronomer contributed to the discovery. This is one of the faintest satellite galaxies ever found orbiting Andromeda, meaning it survived for most of the universe's history without being absorbed by its host. That extreme faintness and age make it scientifically interesting. Faint dwarf galaxies like this are thought to be remnants of the universe's earliest structure formation.
What I find compelling about this story is the collaborative mechanism. An amateur astronomer, someone working with consumer-grade equipment, probably in their backyard, contributed data that professional researchers use to confirm a discovery. That's not a token contribution. The citizen science infrastructure that makes this possible has been built over the last decade through platforms that aggregate observations from non-professional astronomers globally, and it's producing real results.
Machine learning identified two new superconductors this week, materials that conduct electricity without resistance at temperatures that make them potentially useful for real-world applications. The significance here is the method. Traditional superconductor discovery relied on experimental chemistry, synthesizing thousands of compounds and testing them one by one. Machine learning can screen candidate materials computationally before synthesis, dramatically accelerating the discovery timeline. Superconductors are foundational to technologies like MRI machines, maglev trains, and eventually to quantum computing at scale.
NASA awarded $568 million in lunar lander contracts to three companies, diversifying its approach to returning humans to the moon's surface. The three-company strategy is deliberate. NASA learned from the Apollo era that single contractor dependencies create fragility. By funding multiple competing lander designs simultaneously, the agency hedges against technical failures in any one program and creates competitive pressure on cost and timeline.
And then there's the ocean temperature data, which is sobering. The EU's Copernicus Marine Service reported that global sea surface temperatures reached 20.98 degrees Celsius in June, the hottest June ocean temperature on record, surpassing records set in both 2023 and 2024. That's three consecutive years of record June ocean temperatures. Scientists are warning that warmer oceans intensify storm systems, accelerate Arctic ice melt, disrupt fisheries that billions of people depend on, and set conditions for coral bleaching events.
The economic implications of sustained ocean warming are underappreciated in financial markets. Insurance companies are beginning to price it into coastal property underwriting, but the broader economic exposure to global food supply chains, to shipping disruption from intensified tropical storms, to freshwater availability in regions dependent on glacial melt, isn't fully reflected in market valuations. This is a slow-moving risk that tends to be priced only after specific damaging events, not in anticipation of them.
And the FDA's authorization of reduced-risk claims for Zyan nicotine pouches, marking them as lower risk than cigarettes, is a public health and regulatory story. This is the first time the FDA has granted reduced-risk designation to a nicotine pouch product. The authorization allows Zyan's manufacturer to make marketing claims that competitors can't. From a public health standpoint, the evidence is that nicotine pouches do carry substantially lower cancer risk than combustible tobacco, but they're not harmless. And the concern is that reduced risk labeling accelerates adoption among people who wouldn't have used any nicotine product otherwise.